City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to this Bismarck edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. And because it's a Bismarck edition, Assistant City Administrator Jason Tomanek is here, and a special guest today is Commissioner Steve Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, you had a big meeting last night.
Every meeting's a big meeting, Mary.
That's so true. But you had a couple of big issues on there. And before we get to the main issue, and that's the budget for next year, which came all together last night, there were a couple other items on your agenda, I think, that people might be interested in hearing about, and that was it was a consent agenda item about the Patterson building, and that's moving forward with a new owner.
A new owner, yes. City administration staff met with representatives from the Schuett companies a couple weeks ago, and they indicated that they've got a purchase agreement in place to buy the building. And I think the main thing to remember or keep in mind is that their intent is to continue to provide housing for low-income and elderly people.
Mm-hmm. For at least, what, the next 8 years or so?
Yeah, and I believe even longer than that.
Okay.
They have made it known to us that they would like to improve the building, put some money into restoring and renovating some of the apartments. They're also talking about some of the exterior improvements that could go along with it as well. But we'll know more as we get down the road with that.
I noticed, too, that they're also offering to add some services in for the people who live in the building.
Correct. Yeah, they call it compassion care.
Okay.
And really what it would be medical services for those that live in the building. So then there's somebody on site at a regular routine basis to provide the medical needs that the residents could use.
That's a nice addition.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
And such a building, such a landmark building in our community.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would assume the investment in that rehab is going to be substantial.
Yeah, we'll see more of that as the project comes to fruition. At this point, this is really part of their application process is to see that the city supports what it is that they're trying to do. So the request was for a letter of support, and we're able to provide that based on the action from the commissioners last night.
When would you expect the earliest rehab would start, any kind of work in the building?
I would guess probably early next year.
Okay.
When we met with them a couple weeks ago, they had talked about likely providing more information to city staff in November or December about their true intentions of the plan. But it's my understanding that they won't close on the building until late this year.
Okay. So. Interesting. Another couple of items on your agenda last night that didn't get a lot of discussion, but are going to have a impact in our downtown area anyway, are a couple of Renaissance Zone projects, I think, that are kind of fun. And we've heard a little bit about them in the community. I mean, they have been on the agenda, I think, a couple times, or at least with the Renaissance Zone.
Yes.
And the first one is the Butterhorn Restaurant over on West Main. What a cool idea. Young couple who have some culinary background taking over is it unused?
It's vacant today.
Vacant property.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is. I think a neat thing here is that we've got a Bismarck native returning home as well.
Always a good story.
Always good,
definitely.
Yes.
I have, if Ben could pop it up on the screen, a little visual, a little Google map here of that block. Now, keep in mind, these images are a little old, so these are probably 2-3 years old, so they don't show some of the recent improvements on that particular area of Main Avenue, but there have been some real nice improvements.
Fantastic improvements.
Yeah,
this block has really evolved over the last year and a half, 2 years, and it's great to see that so much of the changes that we saw downtown were really happening around Main Avenue, 4th Street, 5th Street, 6th Street, and we're moving west. We've jumped past 3rd Street, which has kind of been that artificial barrier for downtown.
Right.
So now it's great to see that there's some investment and some new life moving into these storefronts.
So just for our listeners on KDAC Radio, then this would be the north side of Main Avenue between 3rd and 2nd.
Yep.
We have Noodle Zip already occupying space. DNN Cinematics took over a building, and Rhythm Records moved in downtown.
In the basement, yep.
Stella's Boutique is in that area, that little strip. It's really gone through a lot of nice change.
It's a new men's store, black tie optional.
Sure.
They're getting ready.
Yeah.
So
So Butterhorn's coming in, and another substantial improvement, amount of money going into a new restaurant operation there. So that will be exciting to watch.
Yeah, and the request on the agenda last night was from the owners of the Butterhorn, and it was for designation as a Renaissance Home project, which will provide them a 5-year state business income tax exemption. So because they're not the owner of the building, they can qualify as a lease project.
Sure.
Which then affords them that opportunity.
Sure. And then you had another Renaissance Zone project on there last night in the Cowan building.
Correct. Broadway Tower, I think, is what
Broadway
they're calling
Tower
it now.
Is but what we renamed
for those of
it.
Us that grew up here and lived here quite a while, it's probably always going to be the Cowan building. At least that's how I remember it. But
I remember Virginia Cowan working that little drugstore on the side there.
Yeah, so this one's looking to take over the main floor of the Cowan building, Broadway Tower, at 401 East Broadway Avenue.
Yeah, so that would be directly across from Wells Fargo, south of that. Mm-hmm. If people don't know that building, but it is somewhat of a landmark as well. Large building, very old building in Bismarck. One of the oldest, I think, isn't it?
It is, and it was added on. The third, fourth, and fifth floors were actually added on in the early 50s. So there's kind of two versions of history there.
Interesting. And that business is a skin care operation. The name of that?
Advanced Skin Care.
Okay. Gina Norton is the
owner and the applicant. Yes,
and that'll occupy the main level of this building. I'll see if I can zoom in a little bit here. Give a little. And again, these
Boy,
are
that's
very
an old.
Old
picture.
Very old picture. Still has the old Bridles and More before any kind of renovation has been done on that of the Cowan building. A little touchy on my mouse here. So. All the main level and the lower level will be the skincare operation.
It's a big business. And it's nice to see some new life into that building. There's
been kind of a phased
renovation, and they've really been looking for some tenants. It's nice to see a ground floor tenant to further activate that sidewalk.
Yeah.
And you've got storefront opportunities for displays, and I think it's going to be a nice complement to all the other things that are going on downtown.
Just to have more life there. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Getting back to your agenda from last night, and we'll just touch on this briefly because it's a fairly complex issue, is the engineering department made a request to move forward with the DOT on a new arrangement that's going to be in place for road projects, maintenance agreements, and cost participation with DOT.
Yep, the Urban Grants Program.
Yeah, that's quite a change.
It is, and it's a change in the funding mechanism and how that is basically how we apply for that. Mm-hmm. So it'll open up more communities to be able to get some of those grants. So it's interesting, and like I had mentioned last night, is to make sure that we go through with a lot of questions, keep your mind open, but make sure we keep those communication lines open. Hopefully that we do what's best for Bismarck and their surrounding community also.
So this new system opens it up to more communities, the pool of money that's available, and the pool looks like it's going down a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So, there's some challenges as we move forward. As the commission keeps reminding us, we're going to be having more and more challenges, especially with road projects.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I think we're talking about the 12 largest communities sharing a pool of around $16 million. Okay. So, a little different mechanism than we've had in the past with the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Typically, that has been a consortium of representatives from Bismarck and Burley, Mandan and Morton, and the community of Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And those five entities can vie over a series of projects and support different things for different funding. But now we're kind of opening up that group a little wider.
Yeah. We'll wait and see, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait and see, yes.
Proceed with caution. So, and then the big item on last night's agenda, which really falls in your portfolio, is the passing of the 2018 budget for the city.
Yep. And, we had talked a little bit earlier, that basically started that process in June. And over 6, 7, 8 meetings from anywhere from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6:30 at night and a little bit later. But, the process is unique is that, I kind of go into a mind into the budget process, public safety and water. That's basically our biggest two that when I hear from our citizens what they're concerned about. So going into that, and then we listen to all the department heads, and there isn't a request that is not needed. But we as a budget committee have to sort that out, where the money is coming from and how they're paid for. There's different options as far as, you know, some are different enterprise funds and how stuff gets funded. But, you know, we have to kind of make sure that the public's money is being spent wisely. Mm-hmm. And basically, as of last night, you know, our property tax levy amount is $21,478,631. Basically, police, fire, and 911 communications budgets are $23,689,485. So we don't even levy enough property tax to cover all of our emergency services. Mm-hmm. You know, so last year, you know, we had talked about, you know, police when I was running in my campaign. A lot of the citizens were police and fire. You know, that's the main thing that they want to be able to feel safe in our community. Out of that, basically came the shift change that we've talked about in the past. Department. And I know the police department has rolled that out to overlap, to be able to make sure we have more police officers during those peak times to help out with whatever situation may arise. So that was what the citizens had wanted. And that's one thing that I had pushed forward during that budget process last year, is to be able to make sure that we have those opportunities for those police officers and their citizens to be able to see that they're out there more. And because Bismarck's getting larger, we all know that. We talk about our footprint all the time, and we talk about infill. Well, with both of those concepts, or more people are coming.
More so, people, more money.
Exactly. So, you know, we need to take a look at how we those finances are spent. You know, with the governor's infill, you know, we're looking at, you know, a lot of that infrastructure is already in place.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also have to look outward. So it's a delicate balance between that. And, you know, the total city budget is $213,679,776. You know, our mill levy is roughly worth, or a mill is worth $376,752. We talked about last night of 1.1% increase, which is about 51 cents to city taxes on a $200,000 home.
That's kind of a bottom line.
What does it mean to the taxpayer?
What's it mean to the taxpayer?
200,000 house, 51 cents in property taxes per month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, you know, we talk mills stuff all the time as far as on the city and the state level, but when it comes down to it, you know, people want no dollars and cents.
And you mentioned that public safety obviously is number one priority, but also water.
Yes.
Water's a huge issue and a very expensive issue for our community, getting clean water and taking out the bad water and getting the sewer system.
Yep.
So there was an adjustment also on the water and sewer rates. Mm-hmm. And as I understand, it looked like water is going to change a little bit, anywhere a little bit of an increase from a nickel a month up to about $1.80. Mm-hmm. Depends upon the size of the meter you have in your home.
Yep.
And your consumption rates.
And your consumption, which seems like a very fair way to do it. And then sewer services have made an adjustment as well, but that's a little more complicated, and that's
a totally different formula altogether.
Yeah.
You know, Michelle, Closeyard director, had brought to a budget committee as far as the two water and the sewer, and it was unique in the information that is available now to us that wasn't necessarily available to us in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, we put our new water meters in to be able to, you know, check our flows, and we can actually drill down to, we can tell if, you know, the day that you probably filled your pool.
Wow.
We can tell if, you know, if you have a faucet running, or if let's say a snowbird had left their, you know, water or something like that. We can tell, you know, all of a sudden if there was a break. So, I mean, the information that is available to us now is a lot better than what it has been in the past. What that does is we can basically look at the consumption and be able to tell what you're, you know, what's using it, and be able to adjust numbers accordingly.
Well, that seems more equitable in the long run. I would assume push people to conserve more and to be more conscious of their consumption of
water. Well, and the biggest thing this year, the biggest topic was lawn watering. Mm. Now, you know, we as citizens can go in and take a look at how much water that we're using. It breaks it down. We could go in and look at what days that you water. If it's, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we can tell that on our analyticals that we get from the city.
If a citizen wanted to know that information about their own piece of property, how would they go about finding out?
There is a website that I can't direct you to at this point in time, but you can get onto the Bismarck
City homepage.
And go from there.
Public Works. If you have any questions about it, I know the staff at Public Works would be happy to help explain this too. And the phone number for there is 355-1700. Mm-hmm. Within the water billing department, there's a lot of information about, as the commissioner was just saying, your consumption, your rates, all of that stuff is in there. So it's mm-hmm. amazing what we're able to learn now compared to the legacy system that we had in place in the past, which basically meant if you had a water meter, you would get a bill. So there were properties where there were no water meters in place and there was no utility bill sent to those properties because we didn't have that ability to generate a bill because we didn't have a meter in those locations.
Again, this sounds like a much more equitable system.
It is. And what it does is it makes sure that we spend our money wisely and the monies that are coming in. So, you know, and if there wasn't a funding mechanism before, there is an added one now. You know, mm-hmm. they may have had a fire hydrant out there or a light pole or, you know, different things. But, I mean, it'll help us as far as on the city side to be able to monitor a lot of that stuff and help with our budgets going forward.
Well, speaking of the city's website, that's bismarcknd.gov.
You got it.
So you can find a lot of information there. And since we're talking about water a lot here, too, that is your portfolio, Public Works.
Water and sewer, yes. One of my many, but the budget and finance, water and...
Find information about the city commissioners on here as well.
Yes, you sure can. Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, you have your phone number is on here. We can give you a call and chat or send you an email.
Yep.
Those are all on there as well. So, and then here are your portfolio assignments. A lot of them do have to do with finance. You have the Vision mm-hmm. Fund and pension review, those types of things. But water and sewer utilities, Public Works. What's going on with Public Works? Are they gearing up for the fall and winter coming up here?
Yeah, we started a little bit of that last night. Jeff brought forward some of the issues as far as snow removal and stuff. And hopefully we don't have a snow event like what we did last year. But, you know, we're getting into that. You know, the budget won't reflect what the snow event was last year. So if we do get one, we'll have to adjust accordingly again. But that... Yeah, you know, he's working on a tight budget and, you know, make sure that we have the manpower available to be able to go out and do that.
But yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning for the public works departments, those are what we call enterprise funds. So those are departments that are not funded through general property tax collections. Those are funded through rates and fees and then also state aid distributions. So in the case of public works service operations, that's the landfill, forestry, roads and streets. Those budgets have taken a noticeable hit because of the state collections are down for fuel tax and things like that. So when the state revenues are down, it results in revenue shortages for us as well. So when the commissioner is referring to a tight budget, it's because of some of the things we're seeing statewide, not just locally.
Right.
You know, another one that was on there was intergovernmental affairs. So another committee that I chair is the intergovernmental. Basically what that is we have a Burley County representative on there. We have a school board representative on there and we have a park board representative on there. Our next meeting is sometime in November, but if there's any of the issues that are coming up that you want to discuss, we can discuss them in front of all four of us. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to our representative boards and say, hey, this is the issues that we see coming forward. You know, what should we do about it? You know, we'll all visit with administration and say, hey, we had a few different topics. You know, we should put it on the agenda. Should we not yet? You know, do we need to visit with the other one? So I think you'll start seeing that committee probably a little bit more active. You know, I know the Mr. Gelhoff from a school board member, he had mentioned as far as, you know, our infrastructure and schools going out farther. So we talk about footprint and infrastructure on that aspect. So I think you'll see a lot more discussion being at that table going forward. So there's we get new members on there to in discussion. So
and we provide coverage of them.
You've
got that up on the screen right now, too, just a shot of that. you at the table. And those are quarterly meetings, are they not?
Or, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's once
right.
a quarter.
Yep.
So they are very interesting when you bring the park district, the school, the city, and the county together. There's a lot of information exchanged. Yeah. I think you have each person report on basically yep. updates that they feel should be shared. Mm-hmm. And it creates some very interesting discussion.
Well, and one of the things that I'm looking forward out of there is, you know, have some public input to that. It can be on the topic. And one thing when I was on the Bismarck School Board is that, you know, we necessarily didn't comment on it during that time, but to make sure that we get our information available and comment next time. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hoping for an idea, something like that moving forward to,
sure.
to be able to have citizens have just one other avenue to be able to express, you know, something that all four of us, you know, have a discussion topic
well,
about.
All four so. Impact every citizen and property owner,
absolutely.
As you said earlier. Yeah. I think before we started is that the city budget, as we talk about city budget, is only 25% of what's coming on your property tax bill.
Correct. 25%. Yeah, it ranges a little bit. The school district is generally the highest percentage. They're up around 40.
Mm-hmm.
County's generally around 20-21%, and then parks is 14-15%. That's about what it was for the 2017 budget. So, yeah, when you look at your property tax bill,
It's
fair to say that there's four different public mm-hmm. agencies that are
sure influencing that number,
absolutely.
That bottom line.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think all the city, the park, and the school have all now approved their budgets. The county remains, and that will be tomorrow night.
Thursday evening. Yes.
Okay. Again, we are recording this program on Wednesday the 27th, and we'll be repeating this for the next week. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow night on Thursday, 28th.
6 o'clock. For the county.
6 o'clock, the Burley County Commission will likely mm-hmm. finalize their budget. So mm-hmm. then people should have a fairly decent idea of what that impact will be on totally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anything else you want to talk about with public works, prep that's going on, fleet maintenance, water and sewer? I think you've made some improvements with our water and sewer system. We had some trickling filters.
Mm-hmm.
being installed?
We're still doing a lot of work down there with some of our piping. There's some hydrocarbons that had some deteriorated some piping, so that cost the city a lot of money to replace that. So we're still in the process of repairing those. You know, we had some work done at the water treatment plant that we're mm-hmm. trying to improve. There's different security measures that we're taking a look at. So, you know, it's one thing that, you know, I had mentioned earlier as far as, you know, public safety is fire, water, and police. Well, we learned with different communities that have had issues with water, we don't want to be in that boat. You know, you think of Detroit and, you know, or Michigan,
absolutely.
You know, as far as, you know, different things that, you know, can happen if we don't maintain our water systems. So that's one of the biggest things is with this last, you know, when we went through our drought, when we had our water issue, I had a citizen come up and ask, she goes, Steve, she goes, I never realized how much I valued water than when I went to take a shower or turn on the water the next day to make coffee. She goes, when I turned the faucet on, there was nothing there.
We really take it for granted.
So we take it for granted.
We
so,
do.
And that's one thing that we need to make sure that all those systems are in place to be mm-hmm. able to handle that.
And we're
that
taking
issue.
Care of the system.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it's, you know, education. Yep. I know that your PIO, Gloria David, spends a lot of time trying to get the word out on different mm-hmm. issues. And a couple of years ago, when you first became a Bismarck City Commissioner, you did a PSA with us mm-hmm. on... because you had the water and sewer portfolio about flushables,
yes.
and what people are flushing down their toilets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing mm-hmm. what a problem this creates. We have a lot of products in this country that are labeled flushable. But, how that happens is not quite clear why that's allowed, but people are flushing things down their toilet that they shouldn't be flushing.
Right.
And the bottom line is there's only three things that should be in your toilet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly. And we did the PSA on that.
Yeah,
so.
We did. And the, you know, I know Jim and our staff went out and captured a lot of footage out at the wastewater treatment plant and were amazed at what they saw. And
mm-hmm.
the clogging of our pipes because people are flushing things other than the three toilet paper, pee and poop. That's
yep.
the only thing that needs to be going down your toilet. Do not put any kind of anything else down there. I think we're running the PSA on the video right now. So it gives you some of those images. But paper towels do not belong in your toilet. It's only going to create a problem for you as a property owner.
Right.
Eventually. Because the lines within your house and out to the street are your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, as taxpayers, we all pay to clean this up on a citywide basis.
Well, and there, you know, and going through this process, we found out that, you know, and some of the fees that Michelle had brought forward to us, you know, as far as some of her restaurants and grease traps and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of grease that gets put down drains that shouldn't and cannot be put down there.
Yeah,
so, you know, and you'll see that was in that budget. But, you know, as far as, so those restaurants need to make sure that they have those grease traps in place for those very reasons, as far as those hydrocarbons that are coming down on the other side.
Your food inspection operations have a close eye on that, I would assume. But even homeowners, don't put grease on your drain.
Right.
It's just a disaster waiting to happen.
It is.
No matter what you think, it's just not a good idea.
No.
You dispose of it in a milk carton or some other container. Mm-hmm. You can even bring it to Public Works to dispose of it.
Correct. Yep. Right. They have some capture sites at the landfill that are intended just for that purpose.
So let Jeff handle it instead of Michelle.
Well, I think we've exhausted our time today. We've talked about everything from budget to what to flush and all of that. So we covered
a lot.
I'm
sure there's a pun there somewhere. I'm not going to touch that one.
I'm waiting for you. So thank you very much for being here. I think we covered a lot of information.
Well, thank you, Mary. And, you know, actually, this was one of my portfolios at one time when I first was on. But I do believe the service that you guys provide to the citizens to be able to watch is very helpful. I get comments all the time as far as, well, we saw you on TV at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. But, I mean, people are watching. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys do provide a valuable service to the community, and we appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
You know, we hear it. I mean, so we know that they're watching. I've listened to the radio a lot just to be able to. I can't make it to the meeting at that particular time, but I can listen to it on the radio. Sure. So the movement that you guys have done and your growth has helped out us as far as the city and as a community. And we appreciate the hard work that you do and even providing programs like this for us to be able to visit and talk.
Thank you. And we feel honored to be able to provide that. That's the foundation of what we do here. So
exactly.
We all feel that way here. So it's a valuable information for citizens. It's there for you at any time to watch. We archive it all online and replay it. So no excuses. It's out there.
That's right.
Transparency.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So thank you for being here. I hope you come back soon and sure, we'll have plenty of things to talk about as the snow starts flying, too. So,
yes.
All right. Thanks again for being here today.
Thank you, Mary.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.